Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Welcome, everybody, to Redacted on this Monday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And no, she is not my sister. Someone in the chat says, wow, Clayton's sister looks really beautiful. No, that's my wife.
Thank
that's
you
my wife.
For the compliment.
We've got a busy, busy show for you on this Monday. We're going to look at the latest in Ukraine because we are getting word from the Russian side that if you want to push us, nuclear weapons are on the table because Vladimir Zelensky says, hey, you know what? War is now hitting Russia with additional drone strikes in the heart of Moscow. So we're getting the Russian response and the Ukrainian response to this madness in Ukraine.
We have an update for you from the Russia-Africa summit that happened over the last week and just how much collaboration is going on there and how hard the West is trying to ignore it. We also, I see a chat every day. I see this tweet in the chat or post in the chat that says free Julian Assange. Yes. And we are going to talk about that and how Australia has just discovered that he exists. And is asking for his freedom. How far will they get? Well, we don't know because Australia wants to build a few bombs with the United States. So we were going to bring you that update.
Also, Facebook files. Jim Jordan, Representative Jim Jordan, decided to take it upon himself to release their own Facebook files. And what? Why is Mark Zuckerberg, why is Facebook so silent on all of this? We're going to unpack the Facebook side of this. We've heard about the Twitter files. Tonight, we're going to dive into the Facebook side of everything. And Redacted starts right now. Welcome everybody to the big show, and a big shout out to Carolyn today, who I love meeting Redacted viewers, and to the millions of you who watch this show. If you ever see us out and about, please come up and say hi. And I love the other day we were out, and Mario came up to us, and the day Carolyn came up and said hello, and loves watching the show. She was from Sweden, and we were talking all about the EU and the craziness of border invasions and what's going on. So great conversation, and I love seeing people who are enlightened, who are open-minded, who are challenging the narrative. She says she's like, oh, my friends, she's like, they can't stand it because I'm challenging the narrative. I drive them up the wall. I'm like, keep driving people up the wall. That's the only way we can make a change, is like, share this show with your friends on Facebook or whatever and rile them up. You know?
Us wall drivers, we have to stick together. So
rile people up.
Let us know when you see us in real life. We like that kind of stuff.
We have a busy show for you on this Monday, and we have a daily newsletter. Yes, during the summer with the kids home from school, it's a little crazy, but we still pump out the daily newsletter, and Natalie writes it. She puts a lot of hard work into it, and we try to really bring a lot of value to your morning when you're first waking up in the morning over your cup of coffee. We publish it at about 7 a.m. Eastern time, and it's chock full of really good stories, but you can read it in about 5 or 10 minutes after I publish the newsletter today. Like a few minutes later, I got the newsletter because I published it, and then I reread it. I'm like, hey, you know what? This is a really good newsletter.
Good,
I'm like,
stuff.
You know, these redacted people.
Yeah.
No, anyway, it's a good newsletter, and it's, again, it's got great information in it. You can find about 4 or 5 of the big stories of the day in the newsletter, and it's very easy to sign up. Just go to redacted.inc. Redacted.inc is the place to sign up.
There's so much there in the newsletter. Even today, I was vacillating between doing that fake meat story that was in the newsletter today in the show. Maybe we'll take that one on tomorrow. This push to replace meat.
Lab-grown meat. Yeah, the idea that it's going to save the environment. In fact, the opposite is true.
Right. And so maybe we'll touch on that one tomorrow because that one also very much blew my mind. But we're busy, guys, because we don't have a show on Friday. We were off the weekend, so we got stuff to talk about. We got to catch each other up.
So good to see all of you guys. Letting us know, you know, where you guys are joining us from here in the chat. Nice to see everyone. Letting us know whether you're on Rumble, on YouTube. Let us know how you're doing. Great to see the tens of thousands of you joining us live on Rumble tonight, as well as YouTube. So nice to see everyone.
And how's your summer going? Today's the last day of July, so hope it's going well. I have three kids with swimmer's ear. Three. Every single ear.
Let me check that ear.
That's the summer. That's the dog days of summer.
All right, let's get into the news, shall we? Let's talk about what's going on in Russia. Here's the word today. Russia can no longer protect itself from war. Now, those aren't my words. Those are the words of the British Intelligence Service, which just issued this alert this morning. And here it is from the intelligence update from the UK. I love how they like post an update. Like, here's our intelligence that we've gathered over the past week or so.
Way to catch up.
So there at the bottom of your screen, you'll notice the increased chance of being compelled to fight drone attacks on Moscow, exceptional level of domestic repression, and the recent Wagner mutiny combined to highlight the Russian state's failure to insulate the population from war. So in other words, Moscow, according to the UK, is vulnerable to terrorist attacks. Civilians are vulnerable in the heart of Russia. Putin is vulnerable. He's increasing the draft for conscription, so more men of military age can be drafted much more quickly. That's what the UK intelligence service is saying. Mm-hmm. Putin is ramping up for something big, according to the UK intelligence service. Put another way, we are sitting on the verge of nuclear war after another round of NATO-backed drone strikes hit the heart of Moscow overnight. Here's video of this. Take a look. So just seeing the scenery here and just looking at the skyline of Moscow and, whoa, what the?
Oh, my.
Hitting apartment complexes. Hitting apartment complexes. Yeah. So the world is on the verge of nuclear war, and NATO seems hell-bent on making it actually happen. This weekend, Victoria Nuland was promoted inside the Biden administration. So Victoria Nuland got a big promotion this weekend.
Well, you know, she's been working on this war for almost a decade.
Yeah.
And that was a big project. When you're handed the project of go start a war with Russia over Ukraine, that was a long one.
Yeah.
She's really been working hard at that.
No, she's the warmonger-in-chief, so Victoria Nuland. Good job there. So she got promoted. And she, you know, I'm reminded of this when she said, we need to be ready that Putin can use tactical nuclear weapons. Remember this? So this is just a few months ago, she said this. And the she-devil herself admitted, we need to be concerned. Why would we be? It's almost like she was ready for it. It's almost like she had an awareness that this was going to happen. Like that, you know, Putin's response eventually is going to be, he's going to be so backed into a corner from all of the NATO bullying that this is going to happen.
We did know this. She's been working on this since 2014.
Yeah.
Literally the strings were pull Ukraine, get war with Russia. This was, again, if you were to just put on someone's agenda, go start a war over this, that's what she's been working on. And we know she doesn't give a crap about Europe and how that plays out. There was even leaked tapes where she said, F the rest of Europe, right? So there is an agenda. It has nothing to do with anyone living on the European continent. Go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
And I just checked my watch, my history watch, and it shows that there's only been one country that's ever actually used nuclear weapons. And you know who that was?
Poland. Us?
You did that? David, don't do that anymore. You just pointed to yourself. Sorry.
Eritrea? Eritrea. So, yeah, we're getting dangerously close to this. And you have to think, well, no, they would never do this. But if you really if you lay it out, and this is exactly what Dmitry Medvedev just said this morning, former Russian president Dmitry Medvedev has warned that there is simply no other way out. There he is with Putin. And he threatened a nuclear response by Russia. Basically what he's saying is, if NATO continues to do this, and if NATO tries to have a victory, like a Ukrainian victory, which would mean attacks on Moscow and taking over Crimea and taking all of this land back, That's a non-starter. That means that a nuclear response would be the response. That's what Medvedev is saying. There's no other way out, he says. Do you know what they're playing with here? The attacks are relentless, by the way. Over the past 24 hours, dozens upon dozens of increased drone attacks inside of Russia. Here's just some remnants of these apartment complexes
that have been happening for weeks. So imagine the U.S. response if this had been hitting buildings in Manhattan constantly, right? Oh, yeah. And this has been happening not just for days, but for weeks. What would the United States have been doing at this point? You can only imagine, right? If they were coming from outside of the country and we knew it from, say, Canada or Mexico or anywhere in the Caribbean, we would have done something by now. And so we are dangerously close to a response that does not involve just hitting Ukrainian infrastructure.
Friend of the show, Douglas McGregor, says Putin will not stand by as this happens. And now NATO is actively discussing war with Russia. Watch.
The second part, though, is very, very important. And that is that the members are now supposedly openly discussing war plans against Russia. Now, this kind of thing is extremely sensitive, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
You can imagine the impact on Moscow. Thus far, Putin has held 300,000 troops in reserve, you know, hoping that he doesn't have to commit them because he's always worried about NATO intervention. And at the same time, you have the Poles and Lithuanians who are saying, well, we're going to go in regardless of what the NATO alliance says. And if we go in, we're not really going to drag NATO with us. The problem with that, of course, is that they're part of NATO. And if they do go in, the Russians will treat them as a NATO Trojan horse and they will attack. Mm-hmm. So we're really on the path to war. And I think we ought to start asking some hard questions of this man who's 80 years old, who has trouble finding his way off the stage, about what he's actually doing. I mean, we're in the hands of a man who is not entirely mentally stable.
Moscow said it had brought down three Ukrainian drones early on Sunday that had been trying to attack the capital. It also claimed forces had thwarted a Ukrainian attempt to attack Russian Crimea with 25 drones overnight. And Zelensky says war is now coming to Russia. These are the words that he just released. Watch.
Бажаю здоров'я, шановні українці, українки. Сьогодні працюємо у Франківську на Прикарпатті. Мав честь відвідати наших воїнів, які проходять лікування після поранень. Подякував їм за захист держави, за силу. Дякую вам за шеврони, хлопці. Подякував нашим лікарям, медичним сестричкам. Пишаємось нашими медиками, усіма, хто рятує життя. Провели у Франківську засідання Конгресу місцевих та регіональних влад України. Наші громади, урядовці, представники сил оборони та безпеки, партнери України, які співпрацюють з Конгресом, була дуже змістовна розмова. Перше – це енергетика, підготовка до зими. Російська агресія зазнала банкрутства на полі бою. Сьогодні вже 522-й день, як триває так звана спеціальна воєнна операція, яку російське керівництво розраховувало на тиждень-два. Україна стає міцніше. Поступово війна повертається на територію Росії.
So, just to paraphrase, he was talking with troops and he says that that Russia is failing, Russia is growing weaker, Ukraine is getting stronger, and war is now arriving on the doorsteps of Russia.
Okay, well, somebody in Ukraine is getting stronger, and that guy you were just looking at, because he last week declared that the state of emergency will be extended into October, so he cannot face re-election. He's canceled the election. So imagine this. You live in Ukraine. You have a president who refuses to talk peace and continues to grab people off the street and throw them in front of the battle lines to retake territory that does not want to be a part of Ukraine. So every family now is eligible for someone there to be thrown into the line of fire and die. And you cannot vote this person out because he's decided we don't have elections any longer. So while the United States is busy telling other countries like Cambodia that you're not having a fair and democratic election, we are allowing Zelensky a dictatorship,
right,
where people will continue to die as a result. And you are utterly powerless as a Ukrainian to do anything about it. You can't vote him out now. No choice.
That's what democracies do, is cancel elections. Right, David?
I was going to say, yeah, that's what we're protecting. Like, everybody knows why we're in Ukraine. It's because we're protecting democracy and American values.
Right. Yeah. And what better way to celebrate democracy than to cancel elections?
I find that just so terrifying. At least in the United States, you have this idea that there may be a peace candidate on the way behind Joe Biden, this sort of pipe dream, right? In Ukraine, you've got nothing. And you know that your male family members have a very high likelihood of being dragged into this.
Yeah.
I find that just terrifying. And that's what we stand for when America stands for her principles.
Well, this morning, the Zelensky government, see how this lands with you guys watching right now. Let us know in the chat what you think about this. So this morning, the Zelensky government created a video getting ready for the Ukrainian Independence Day on August 24th. They released this video this morning showing it the attacks that they have planned for August 24th. Yes, they made a movie about it. Watch.
What you did there.
So mark the date on your calendar.
When your counteroffensive fails, you animate it.
Right. Yeah, and you make it into a propaganda movie for your Independence Day on August. I love it. It's just like a fleet of drones that are going to attack. That's how you celebrate Independence Day. So nuclear war. So this is your tax dollars hard at work being used by NATO to foment a nuclear war. This weekend, all the news shows, you would have thought, hey, Sunday shows, all weekend they would have been covering all these latest developments, these attacks in Moscow, the response, the NATO ramping up of weapons, sending additional military packages to Ukraine, all of it. What coverage? Instead, the media is pushing the World Economic Forum agenda. This is literally this weekend. Instead of covering what's going on the verge of nuclear war, this is what they're covering.
We all know how important insects are for the environment, but climate researchers say bugs could be a game changer in the fight to protect the planet in ways you may not have imagined. Tina Kraus has the story from London.
Adding some insects to the mix is customary in the kitchen in some parts of the world. Now climate experts think that protein-packed pests could offer a real solution to the global food crisis.
Yeah, so get your bugs in your food. That's what CBS is spending 4 minutes of airtime covering. And then nothing on the war. No coverage of this. No coverage of moving towards nuclear Armageddon. So where is President Biden while all of this is unfolding, by the way? Oh, here he is. He's at the beach. He's going to be spending the next 9 days there in Delaware. They're extending the vacation 9 more days. Well, it's 10 days as of today. So he's got 10 full days.
He's spending 9 days right there?
Yeah, I guess just in that one spot. He'll just be asleep in that one spot, for the next 9 days. That's with Jill just hanging out on the beach. It's unbelievable, sort of the southern border is just being flooded with people. We had a record number of people pour across the border in June, up 186%.
And a record number of fentanyl.
Yeah, a record number of fentanyl that just came across. And a record number of southern border invasions, 144,000 over the past month. Michael Tracy said this. I like this. He said, drone strikes raining down on Moscow with regularity now is a perfectly foreseeable and intentional byproduct of longstanding U.S. policy aims in Ukraine to escalate and expand the warfare. There's nothing inadvertent or unexpected about this, he says. It's a willful U.S. policy choice. Yeah, it's exactly right. It's exactly what is happening right now, because pushing towards nuclear war is all part of the plan. That's exactly what NATO wants. And Antony Blinken amazingly had this to say this weekend. Blinken said that nuclear war, the threat is no worse than climate change. Basically, nuclear Armageddon is on the same path as climate change.
I mean, by that logic, I say, okay, leave me alone about gas stoves then, because
Yeah.
You're choosing one. I'm choosing the other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and what's funny is, you know, they want this. I mean, I think they really, really want this. You've heard them talking about like darkening the sun, you know, trying to blot out. One, the only other way besides what we saw with these massive volcanoes that like that we lost an entire summer in the year 1816 is with nuclear fallout. And that's the only other time when you have these particulates in the air of that dense, that size and scope that could literally change the climate so effectively, which is to bring the temperature down. And these guys want this to happen. So they're it's like they're on board with it. They're like, okay, so the side effect in all of this is nuclear war in Ukraine. Fine. We've already destroyed that country anyway. Plus, it'll help our climate. It'll bring the temperature down if we have nuclear fallout. That's what Antony Blinken says. And he doubled down on it.
No worse than, I really can't follow the logic. Like he wants us to just be afraid of both or.
I don't know. What do you try to put logic? I literally watched multiple Biden administration officials give speeches over the weekend, from Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas to Antony Blinken to seeing what Victoria Nuland is saying and concerned about the BRICS nations. They're all nuts. They're literally, I watched a Kamala Harris speech today, and it was like a giant word salad. It was like a big, giant kale green salad. I had no idea what the hell she was talking about. These are the people running our country. Mm. These are the people running our country right now. Biden's out to lunch, he's at the beach, and all of these people make no friggin' sense. So these are our elected leaders right now. Hopefully we can vote these people out. At least we will have an election, hopefully, in 2024. Although, wait, did you Blinken see Roseanne Barr? Roseanne Barr, did you see what she said today? She said she doesn't see a 2024 election even happening in the United States.
I do not want to hear that.
She said it's going to be so crazy. She says she doesn't even think we're going to actually have a normal, like an actual election in 2024.
I mean, it's possible, because if Russia does technically declare war, or we declare war, then he can stay in.
Right, he could declare martial law, or you could literally go into the War Powers Act, which then, you know, takes him out of the occasion, and then you have an entire emergency set up right now, the continuity of government structure in the United States. So anyways, guys, let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below. We'll take some of your super chats here in a second. We've got more news to get to. We're going to talk about the Africa-Russia summit and the way the mainstream media, Mike Jones is going to be joining us from I, Earl Gray, because he was there in St. Petersburg, and the Western media totally, you know, spun the all of these African leaders and ambassadors who flew in and were meeting inside of Russia about a future sort of multipolar order, shattering this unipolar order. The way the Western media was spinning, it was hilarious. So we'll talk to Mike here in a moment.
The way they were spinning it was ostrich syndrome.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
We're also going to talk about Julian Assange and what Australia just said about that. But first, are you an investor looking for an easier way to trade stocks? And would you like 16 free stocks right now? Would you like to get a free Tesla or a Google stock? Yeah, right now you can. With our friends at Moomoo. Right now, if you go to redacted.inc/Moomoo, you have to use that URL. We'll have a link in the description if you want to check it out later, if you're driving or something like that. But you can get up to 16 free stocks with my favorite trading platform. I love using this platform. It has zero commission trades. The app looks amazing on every platform, from iOS to Android to Windows and Mac. With Moomoo, you can trade with its advanced tools. They give you a lot of the advanced tools that you'd normally pay for on some of the other platforms. They give them to you for free. And here's a little teaser. They're launching in Canada. They are launching in Canada tomorrow. So on August 1st, get ready, guys. The Canadian viewers are going to have something special up there. Anyway, no matter what your skill level is, you'll find fantastic tools that can help you trade. Just go to redacted.inc/Moomoo. Again, redacted.inc/Moomoo. Get 16 free stocks when you open your account, make your initial deposits until, that's all you need to do. Just open the account, make your initial deposits, and you get a chance for those 16 free stocks, plus either a Tesla stock or a Google stock. Even if you never do anything else with the account, you still get to keep those free stocks. All right, once again, here's the URL. Ready? Write it down. Once again, redacted.inc/Moomoo. Well, the Western media has been playing a game of Twister over the past few days, trying to put itself in pretzels, trying to describe the African summit, which has just taken place in St. Petersburg, Russia, from headlines like this from NBC News: Putin searches for more friends. at Africa's summit. Here's another one. Africa, beware of Putin's money. And my favorite from Time Magazine, why African leaders are staying away from Putin's Africa summit and how things have not gone as planned. So just read any Western media accounting of this, and it was a total disaster for Russia, and it was a total disaster for Africa. Independent journalist Mike Jones from Earl Grey was there on the scene in St. Petersburg and has been covering this, doing great reporting and a number of interviews with African leaders and journalists as well, and getting a sense of what's been happening in St. Petersburg. And he joins us now. Mike, great to have you back on Redacted. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. Yes, it was quite an event.
So a lot of moving pieces and a lot of different headlines that I think the Western media has ignored. Why don't we start with, I think, one of the biggest messages we've heard over the past year from Africa, which is the idea of African sovereignty. Like, the West has pilfered resources, the United States specifically, has pilfered resources from African nations for many, many years under the threat of the U.S. dollar and military might and building military bases. So this seemed to be a pretty big message coming out of this summit, which is you get to keep your own sovereignty. We don't want to take your sovereignty. Can you elaborate on that?
Certainly. I will zone in on President Putin's own words, where he assured African nations that Russia would support them in what he said was protecting their own sovereignty. This has come in many forms. We've seen a string of coups and meddling and such activity from the US, not to mention Victoria Nuland scurrying to South Africa very recently. So we see the signs from the US there. So I think from President Putin, that was an assurance to the leaders. CBS News ran with the headline that just 17 heads of state from Africa attended the Russia-Africa summit, which was half of those that attended the previous one. What CBS failed to mention was that 32 other countries were represented by high-level officials, including ambassadors, making that total 49 out of 54 African countries, despite the threat of US sanctions, which is a clear signal and understandable why CBS chose to overlook that little detail there.
It's funny how they spin this, right? But yeah, because the Western media painting this as a failure. But of course, all of these African leaders and African ambassadors in St. Petersburg for this. Someone else who was in St. Petersburg, and the Western media did pick up on this. I saw different reports about the former head of the Wagner group, Prigozhin, was in St. Petersburg as a bit of a surprise, I think, and Western media picking up saying, what's going on here is, you know, does Putin have an adversary or an ally? What's going on in St. Petersburg with Prigozhin? What did you make of his appearance?
I saw that as underpinning and underlining Putin's message of Russia will support you. Wagner has very positive sentiment towards it on the African continent. Wagner has been instrumental in fighting off the French military, as they have supplied, financed, and supported terrorist organizations in various countries under their former colonial power, not to mention the US. And of course, I would be remiss to omit the British influence as well on that continent as well. So, far from being subjected to exile in Belarus, St. Petersburg, which was traditionally Prigozhin's headquarters of both his activities and Wagner in particular, I believe that the West was actually right to pick up on his presence. I detected a sense of alarm almost in some of those headlines, because Yevgeny Prigozhin is no doubt very familiar with many of these heads of state and officials that were represented there, and on very good terms with them, it seemed to be, from the pictures that even the Western media presented. So I detect a lot of alarm in these countries, whereby they are actually very concerned that they're losing their grip and the threat and fear and bully tactics that they've employed to date, that actually not just Putin's words, but there are sort of teeth to back them up.
Well, the Western press, Western leaders would say that Africa is falling out of favor, or Russia is falling out of favor with many African countries. But we see a number of coups in Africa to kind of speak to the French influence in Africa that really goes against that narrative. Can you explain more about, we saw the coups in Niger, Burkina Faso, Am I missing any other ones? But it seems that this is a denunciation of Western policies more than anything.
Yeah, I believe Sudan was another one. Again, I could be wrong there. I struggle and lose track. I've spoken with a general from Somalia, a journalist today from Ghana, who tell me that opposite to the Western narrative, that there is rising support and sentiment in the African continent. We've had Uganda recently enact laws that go against the LGBT narrative or push there, where they're trying to protect the traditional values, values that Russia tries to uphold. So there's a lot of key alliances and opinion there. And the African people, from their own words, the people that the African officials that toe the US line are most generally the corrupted ones. They've been visited by the economic hitman or the IMF, and they've sold out the interests of their people. Whereas, and this is going back to the times of the Soviet Union, Russia doesn't exert influence so much as offers cooperation and partnership as investment. And we've seen that evidenced by Putin forgiving $23 billion of debt. I've never heard of such an action taken by the IMF, by the West, in my lifetime, for sure. Now, I could be wrong, of course, but this was pretty monumental and made the headlines most certainly in certainly Russian media. I'm not sure how much the West picked up on that.
I didn't see those headlines in any Western press that Russia forgives the debt of certain African nations and the billions that they've done. You bring up a great point about the IMF. This is something we've talked at length about on our show, which is the International Monetary Fund. It keeps these nations in debt in perpetuity, right? And it really prohibits their ability to ever get out from underneath that to create economic prosperity. Because in order to survive, they need to continue to take this money from the International Monetary Fund. And it's really just a tragic situation. The same thing was happening in Ukraine, by the way, right? Think about the amount of loans that the IMF is having to deal with and dole out to Ukraine, which will be a country that will be in absolute debt for decades to come, what's left of it. So it's a very important story.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right, both to mention the word tragic and Ukraine. It is an absolute tragedy with Ukraine. That's always been my thought, because these are not gifts. It's not charity. These are loans. These are lend lease. How are the Ukrainian people that are left there? That's another headline where they're trying to call for Ukrainians to return home. How are they supposed to pay off this debt? I don't foresee Monsanto walking away from the land that they've purchased for pennies, pittance in there, along with BlackRock, Vanguard, and all the other interests that have, in accordance with the IMF sort of modus operandi, moved in on a country, taken its sovereign wealth, taken away the natural resources. I'll stress that I really liked, I've forgotten the political analysts that delivered this, but they said that Africa is not a poor continent. It has been made poor by the colonial powers in the US. It is one of the richest continents on the planet. And I believe Russia and indeed China recognize this, hence why they are proposing trade and partnership and trying to help them. Whereas to date and for hundreds of years, let's be absolutely frank, the West has pillaged this continent. Putin also stressed that Africa is one of the poles in the new multipolar world. And again, I've not read that in the Western media, but I think this is why we're seeing almost a seismic tectonic shift on the geopolitical sphere, as this is being said out loud, recognized, and even encouraged and upheld.
It's interesting. We heard the Zimbabwe delegation a couple of months ago saying the same, which is we have other friends. We don't need to have just our resources pilfered by the West. We have other options now to both settle our transactions and other currency, also to have other allies and support. And we are seeing a major, major shift. I believe we are seeing this tipping point unfolding right before our eyes. One thing I want to get you out of here on this, Mike, which is this grain deal. And you had some really fascinating information that you were able to report on as it related to the grain deal. Of course, the Western media was saying basically, the Western leaders are saying that Russia was not allowing these ships to leave. Russia was denying that. and you've managed to bring forward some proof on that. Can you talk about this grain deal and what you've uncovered?
Absolutely. I will also add that the grain deal featured as one of Putin's speeches, where he assured six African nations that not only would they receive 25 to 50,000 tons of grain free of charge, but also the delivery of which free of charge. He went on to list them, and I'll save people the details now. They can find that out of these. I think one of the reasons that he stressed this was part of the original grain deal. The UN even claimed that there would be a famine in Africa if Russia did not go along with the grain deal, the UN-backed grain deal brokered in Turkey. It was reported by Maria Zakharova that just one tanker out of hundreds made it to the African continent, the rest going to Europe to be sold for profits. With the withdrawal of Russia from the grain deal, a lot of criticism was leveled, that saying that, oh, Africa's going to starve. So I believe to assuage this, Putin has assured the African continent that no, your needs will be met, and he outlined the terms of that deal. We know that Russia has pulled out following the attack on the Kerch Bridge. From what I'm told in my interview with Andrei Afanasyev, he showed me, you could say receipts, but these are documents supplied to him by Ukrainian supporters of his work. He's a military journalist currently in Donetsk, which is why my interview with him was a bit ad hoc and on Telegram, where he shows these PDFs that show the ships, the origin and the destination and the cargo and the flag they were flying, many of whom are Ukrainian. So he claims that this is proof that Russia upheld its part of the grain deal, where it permitted safe passage for these ships to and from. He then levels the allegation that the West, saying that Russia broke its part of the agreement, holds no water, because then Ukraine went on to attack the Crimean Bridge, killing two civilians, and indeed civilian infrastructure. President Putin stressed at the time that the Crimean Bridge has not been used for military logistics for a long time. Russia does not depend on it to supply its southern armies in the area of the Donbas. So this was, in his opinion, President Putin's civilian infrastructure, and therefore that was a breach of the grain deal. That we go on to then the stories that the FSB claim to have found traces of explosives, so that the ships being used by Ukraine under the grain deal were actually smuggling weapons, according to the Russian media and the justification from Russia from withdrawing. So Andrei has supplied those PDFs. They are in Ukrainian, but it's very clear to see where they're coming from. And you're very welcome to share them with the audience so they can scrutinize them themselves.
Fascinating. Well, I guess the Western media narrative continues to crumble. But thanks to great independent journalist reporting from Mike and others. Thank you so much, Mike. This is great. This is a great summation of what we saw at this summit in Africa, in St. Petersburg, the African summit there. And it'll be interesting to see if other nations, other Western nations, come forward, and if they purport to support Africa, maybe they will also alleviate some of this debt burden that is crushing that continent. Mike, great to see you. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you for having me. A pleasure.
I should point out too that in the Donbas, where Mike was, you know, heading into Donetsk. I mean, they've just been, we talk about the attacks on Moscow overnight, but the unbelievable attacks over the past 24 hours in the Donbas in Donetsk has been absolutely horrific. Again, more civilians killed, and just an awful, awful situation there once again. So I see some people in the chat asking about that. And yeah, absolutely. That's been absolutely been happening in the Donbas over the past 24 hours. Once again, attack on civilian infrastructure, and no military targets whatsoever. You're hitting residential areas. You're hitting, you're hitting apartment complexes. You're hitting buses. You're hitting train stations. You're not hitting military targets at all.
Right. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate that, especially as the West continues to up its rhetoric about how Africa doesn't understand what they're doing, getting themselves into all this debt with Russia and China. Yeah. They don't understand the numbers. Only us in the West understand the numbers. I mean, talk about racism, right?
Yeah.
And so watching an entire continent saying, we do, we know what we're doing. Thanks for that, though. It's definitely something to watch. So coming up, we're going to talk about Julian Assange and what the West is doing about continuing to persecute him in the name of journalism. We're going to talk about how Australia has sort of woken up, realized he exists. Not that it's going to do much, but let me know what you think when we get to that story. We're also going to cover the Facebook files, how we continue to be censored online. I know you're shocked, but you know, we can't get bored of this story. As much as we see these now, I feel like we've been watching this for about 6 months. Twitter files, Facebook files, we continue to see proof that the federal government reached into social media to decide what we could say and how we can say it. Also, how we could joke about it, even. We're going to show you how memes were intended to be censored. We can't fall asleep on this story because it will continue to happen. It's not supposed to be happening right now. But anyhow, we're going to get to that in a bit.
Okay. And yeah, I got a few super chats we want to get to. Andy Taylor, thank you for your super chat. I'm 100% certain Ukraine... yeah, they're hitting these targets with missile defense. They know their own missile trajectories and the risks before launch. Jamila Asfu says the West don't like Africa, but they won't leave us alone. Yeah, that's right. And when you see, I saw a map today of Africa, and just like looking at, and it just showed the massive continent of Africa, and it just had every one of the countries was renamed as a different resource and mineral. It was like uranium, like instead of Uganda, it was, you know, all of these different countries were just renamed minerals, which is exactly why the West, just look at what's happening in Niger right now. Exactly that reason. Andy Taylor says, girl in Moscow, mommy dudes like, yo, explosion. Let's check it out before those two guys and more volunteers go to fight NATO Ukraine terrorists now. Brett Green, love these folks. Thank you, Brett. Appreciate it. The Laterix, thank you for your super chat. Gigi, and another one from Laterix there. And IB Mickelson, thank you so much for your kind super chats as well. Darren Michael Bennett, thank you so much. And if you guys subscribe to the channel live during the show here, your name will pop up on the big board. So if you do subscribe or you become a Redacted Rebel VIP, your name will pop up here on the big board. And also, if you're watching us on Rumble, the same thing. It's very easy on Rumble. There's a big red button. You can join our locals community. If you'd like to support independent journalism, you can do that. All right, we've got more news to get to. We're going to get to this Julian Assange story next, because I think it's a big, very, very important story. And it really speaks to the future of what journalism is and will be. So we'll talk about that. But first, we want to thank our friends over at Aura for sponsoring today's show, because anyone can find anything on the internet, including all of your information, your personal email, your phone number, all of that, even your relatives' information. It's amazing. This information is accessible because of data brokers selling your stuff. I mean, how many of you guys have gone online just to see what of your own personal or family information is out there? And you can do that for free, actually, for 14 days. You can try Aura for free by going to aura.com/redacted and just try it for free for 14 days and see how much of your own personal stuff is being sold by data brokers. You're going to be stunned at what you'll find in just those 14 days. This information is accessible because of data brokers who profit off of it by selling your information to robocallers, telemarketers, spammers, anyone else that wants to learn more about you. So that's why we're excited to tell you about Aura, because they will identify these data brokers that are exposing your information and automatically submit opt-out requests on your behalf. They'll even opt you out of junk mail stuff if you don't want. So I did this with Aura, and my junk mail has plummeted as a result, because it was able to take me off of so many lists that I now, my inbox is actually somewhat tolerable, you know, as tolerable as email can be. They were able to delete so many of these junk mail stuff. So anyway, there's a QR code on your screen right there as well. So you can just hold up your phone if you want to try the QR code, and you can try it for free by going to that QR code that's on your screen right there is aura.com/redacted. You can try it free for 14 days. And it's amazing. It's also a VPN, a password manager, and a real-time credit and identity theft monitoring, internet parental controls, the whole nine yards, all inside of Aura. So go to aura.com/redacted, try it free for 14 days, and let them see how much of your stuff is online. See if they can find it. You'll be shocked at how much of your private information they find over the next few weeks. Unbelievable.
Well, Australia is ready to do whatever its friend the U.S. wants it to do. They say jump. Australia says how high. But there's just one little issue of a Mr. Julian Assange. Assange is Australian, but he has been persecuted by four governments without the help of Australia pretty much at all. The U.S., the U.K., Sweden, and Ecuador. Those are the four countries that the United Nations is pushing for answers on why they're treating this guy like garbage, what you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy. And meanwhile, Australia is like, what? Who? Julian Assange? He's one of us? You want us to do something about it? To the point that Julian Assange's lawyers have called him basically stateless, diplomatically alone. They've left him out to dry because they are afraid of the bully that is the U.S. and the U.K. Again, every time they go to court, they say basically he's got nobody. He's got no one behind him. Now, as a reminder, Assange is being persecuted for journalism. He published a series of documents and a video from 2007 showing U.S. soldiers firing on civilians, a child, and a reporter the reporter had a camera. The soldier said, oh, that's probably a gun, and shot him anyway. When the child gets hit, the soldiers say, well, that's their fault for bringing a child into a war zone. It was a bus stop. No one was ever punished for this 2007 crime. Julian Assange was the proverbial shoot the messenger victim of this, even though both the Pentagon and President Biden, when he was vice president, all have said that they cannot prove that an American was harmed by the release of this information, to the point that they tried to prove it in the trial against Chelsea Manning and were unable to prove who actually got hurt, because it was Chelsea Manning who handed this information to Julian Assange, if you recall. Now, the web that has entangled Julian Assange is an example of how governments use their powers in the most arbitrary and corrupt way possible. Australia is just happy to look the other way. This week, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken was in Australia making weapons deals, big ones, that we're going to talk about in a second. When that pesky matter of Assange came up, the Australian Foreign Affairs Minister, Penny Wong, who you see standing next to him on his right, confirmed that she had raised the case with the U.S. government. And she said, we have made clear our view that Mr. Assange's case has dragged on for too long and our desire that it be brought to a conclusion. And we've said publicly, and you would anticipate that that reflects also the position we articulate in private. Now, they're not saying his rights have been infringed, which they have. They're not saying he has not had a fair trial, which he hasn't. They're not saying he should be released, which he should, unequivocally. I'm comfortable saying that, that yes, he should absolutely have been able to even wait out his extradition case outside of prison, because he's not been convicted of anything. Now, in response to this, Secretary Blinken says they can't comment on the extradition case, but they're not going to let this one go because Assange risked very serious harm to our national security. Now, again, the key word here is risk, because the federal government tried to prove the harm in the Chelsea Manning case and was unable. It's not about harm done. It's about the embarrassment of the U.S. getting away with war crimes. Australia, is that good enough for you? Now you've sort of said your piece, like, well, we tried, gave it the old heave-ho. Gave it the old, I don't know, can I make a...
I mean, it was just behind the scenes. You knew this wasn't going to happen, right? So they publicly come out, good cop, bad cop, right? And they can play this game. They can come out and pretend. And they know behind the scenes this was never going to be approved by the United States.
Right. But I mean, they're literally just not trying. Like, we'll just say a few words. You know, they're not holding anything hostage. They're not speaking for him. They're not even telling us what has been done to us. Now,
Let's think about it. They are so much in the tank for the United States with this AUKUS deal.
More so now, which I'm going to cover in a second. Yeah. And it gets increasingly so. So they are motivated to sort of just let him be thrown under the bus. Like, can't save them all. If you are interested in exactly how terrifying the Julian Assange case is, I do recommend the Nils Melsner book. He is the UN Special Rapporteur who has unequivocally said that this guy is being subjected to torture. Exactly how and how each of the four governments is deciding to bend over like Gumby in order to manipulate the rules that weren't even there before to keep him entangled. And it's the worst case of government gone wrong, working at its most nefarious. I want to remind you, Assange has Asperger's. He's been in solitary confinement, kept from his lawyers and his children, wrongfully detained. If he is prosecuted for publishing journalism, that affects what we do here and you, what you get to hear. It absolutely affects what you get to hear and see as a public. This is not an aside. Australia should grow a pair and stand up for Julian Assange. Absolutely. He is a fly in the ointment of the U.S. plans, but he's a human being. And there is a public interest in us understanding what was done. No one was ever punished for that 2007 video. No one. How can this be? Okay, so now let's get back to, you know, well, okay, he was a speed bump in this diplomatic visit. Go ahead.
Well, in all of these cases where we have video evidence, we have reports and eyewitness testimony, we've covered here on the show the attacks in Syria that the New York Times even documented killing civilians in drone strikes. Right. And these were intentional targets where you can hear the members of the military laughing as they're taking down and shooting these journalists.
Same with this, the original collateral murder video that was from 2007.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I meant, that particular video.
Yes.
There's no prosecution of it. They have the full evidence. They knew exactly what they were doing. And as they were trying to run away, they still fired and tried to kill them. But no prosecutions in Syria, no prosecutions in Yemen, no prosecutions in Iraq for any of these civilian targeting journalists.
Right. And so, again, you know, Chelsea Manning at the very least had the sentence commuted after being resigned to serve whatever it was that was thrown at them. And at least Chelsea Manning was allowed to meet with their lawyers and have access to a library in order to prepare for their case. Julian Assange is afforded none of that. Most of the time when they say you can meet with your lawyers, let's say on Wednesday from 1 to 3, they say, oh, paperwork, we don't know, we can't get you out. So he doesn't get to that meeting until 2:30. And then like, oh, sorry, 3 o'clock's up. That's how he is treated regularly. So again, should Julian Assange be a speed bump in the U.S.-Australian diplomatic relations? That is sort of what it seems to be, and I find that shameful. Now, the U.S. is saying they plan to increase the tempo of visits of nuclear-powered submarines to Australia, plus expand the AUKUS treaty for Australia to host weaponry for the U.S. and the U.K. What do you think that means? Increase the tempo, like turn the beat around? Is that what we're doing?
Turn the bead. Yeah.
Turn it up upside down. So yeah, that's what we're doing. We're going down under with more nuclear powered submarines on a more regular basis. Australia is willing to bend over just a little bit more and let the U.S. build up a spy network. Now, this gem of a headline was caught by Caitlin Johnstone, who lives in Australia, I believe, right? She said, nice try, ABC. ABC originally posted this headline, U.S. military spies to embed in Australia's Defense Department to monitor regional threats in the wake of these talks. And then turns out that was a little too much said the, you know, what is the expression? Said the part, quiet part out loud.
Yeah, or a little too on the nose.
Little too on the nose. So they changed this headline to this. No, U.S. sending military analysts to embed, not spies. You know, I mean, we keep accidentally telling people we're going to send spies there when we mean to do that furtively.
Journalists.
Maybe.
They're going to pretend to be journalists.
Yeah. That is not sly, as I say to Clayton sometimes. Not sly, honey. I see what you're doing here.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to.
I have a lot of thoughts about it.
Being sly.
No, I you know, the use of, like, you can call them whatever you want, but, you know, it's like the use of journalists, like, you know, pretending that Richard Engel has actually been captured by the Syrian government when in fact it was the CIA-backed group that takes him in under custody, and he's been captured. Oh, really? He's been captured, yeah, by the CIA that actually put him in place. So these journalists are used in all sorts of different ways, and I think this is a perfect way for them to use them in this situation.
Wait, what are you saying?
I'm saying that if you're going to embed, you know, you could just, instead of pretending that these are other jobs, just use journalists like you've been using all along for these missions.
It's exactly like putting generals and stuff on TV on our news. It's like they've embedded the CIA basically on our news. It's just what they do now.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You guys make a good point. So Can I still call them spies?
Sure. I mean, yeah, that's exactly what they are.
Okay. Spies. Check. Yeah. Weapons.
Chevy Chase.
Yes, we got that too. The U.S. said that it will help Australia produce guided multiple launch rocket systems by 2025. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin called this plan an anchor of peace and stability. Here's that tweet, that this U.S.-Austria alliance is an anchor of peace and stability with all these weapons. Weapons bring peace and stability. So Australia, you are being dragged into a war with China alongside the U.S. and the U.K. Whether you like it or not, you're coming along for the ride. Your leaders have decided that's totally fine. Julian Assange was a hiccup in that plan, but not big enough. War it is for you. You get a war down under. That's what
really
I have
sad.
To say about
it's,
that.
I mean, it's so sad. I just, you know, think about
it. It's awful.
It's just think about this, you know, and we're trying to get Stella Assange on the show here. And, you know, it's just what that family has gone through, you know, health deteriorating, being kept in Belmarsh prison under these circumstances. It's awful. Awful. And yes. Yeah, as you point out, you know, none of the people involved in actually committing the war crimes have been prosecuted, but or been jailed. But the person reporting on the war crimes is in jail.
Did you know that Julian Assange, he requested special permission to be present at the birth of his children because it is not unusual for people awaiting extradition trials to not be imprisoned. In fact, I think it was the former president of Colombia, a South American president, I'm sorry, it fails me at this point, was being tried for extradition in the UK and was allowed to live in this big mansion totally free during his extradition trial. Julian Assange has been imprisoned without being convicted of anything and requested permission to be at the birth of his children, and they said no. Further, Stella Assange tried to only allow the babies to meet with Julian with a friend because they didn't want he was paranoid that the government was spying and they'll realize, well, this is the baby and start following them. And I can't remember which government off the top of my head, but they DNA tested the diapers. They literally did that. So, you know, this is what's happening because of the embarrassment that was caused to the United States, not because he's actually been tried.
And the UK.
And the UK. The judge who has overseen that extradition case is married to someone who was embarrassed by some of the WikiLeaks papers and did not recuse herself. It's awful. You guys, look into the details of this. I cannot answer for it. Like, there's literally just no answer for it in an organized democracy, which is what we like to pretend that we have.
Yeah.
We're a republic.
We got more news to get to here. We're going to look at the Facebook files and the silence. It's very eerie on the Facebook side of things in the collusion with the Biden administration on censoring people's voices online. Jim Jordan has his Facebook files, and the silence since those Facebook files have been released is deafening. We'll get to that in a moment. But first...
First, we want to tell you about our friends over at GenuCell, because if you look in the mirror and you see those dark spots, well, they're not going to go away on their own. So you might want to check out the Dark Spot Corrector from GenuCell right in time for summer. The Dark Spot Corrector, with not one but three cutting-edge ingredients, goes to work fast to target sunspots, dark spots, liver spots, and even old discoloration, both on your face and your hands. You'll be amazed at how quickly you'll see results. And now you can enjoy your summer sun, beach, and barbecues without embarrassing spots. With GenuCell, you'll see the results of your money back, no questions asked. The results or your money back, no questions asked. So go to GenuCell.com right now and get your dark spot corrector with the new GenuCell Most Popular Package, which features summer essentials like the best-selling Ultra Retinol Moisturizer. That is a daytime moisturizer, ladies. You know how you're told you can't wear retinol in the sun? Well, you can with the Ultra Retinol Moisturizer for daytime. It's a powerful retinol alternative for safe use in the summer sun. So it's a type of retinol that you can use during the day, not just at night. So right now, visit GenuCell.com/promo right now for these amazing summer essentials and save over 70% off GenuCell's most popular package. Don't wait. Order GenuCell's most popular package now. Free shipping, free returns, and the best luxury skincare you've ever used, all at 70% off. So one more time, that's GenuCell.com/promo. All orders will include a mystery luxury gift while supplies last. Once again, that's GenuCell.com/promo.
We got some super chats here I want to get to. Thomas Kivit, thank you for your 11 euro super chat. Says Ukraine's total gas reserves have been estimated at 1.8 trillion cubic meters. Chevron, ExxonMobil, Halliburton will try to drill 51 billion cubic meters this year. We all know why BlackRock is interested in Ukraine. Yes, yes, Thomas, you're right about that. And E.B. Mickelson with a super chat as well. Thank you so much for that. And yeah, thank you guys for that. And thank you guys for subscribing to the channel, being part of our conversation here. And we're humbled and blessed that you guys join us every day. Really, really means the world to us. So thank you guys so much. And yes, we just hit, we're almost at 2.1 million subscribers on YouTube now. And Rumble, I think, have we hit 400,000 yet? Oh, we're at 370,000 on Rumble.
Getting there.
So on Rumble, if you'd like to follow us over there, you can do that as well. A free speech platform, which is Rumble. More YouTube channels have been shut down recently, and they're continuing on their quest to ban different channels and things and silence voices. And so
here we are right now, guys.
Fightback says, hey, Clayton, invite Roseanne on the show. I'd love to have Roseanne on the show. Yeah, we'll work on that. I'll have, see if we can do that here in the next couple of weeks. That'd be great.
Really?
I would love to. Are you kidding me? I would love to have Roseanne on the show.
I would too.
I interviewed her years ago on when I was on Fox and Friends years ago, but it's been many, many moons.
I would have to apologize for, you know, falling for the Russiagate stuff, because that's why I stopped watching her show, because she was making fun of Russiagate on the reboot of the Roseanne show, and I was like, Russiagate's real, don't make fun.
You did?
Yeah. Oh, there was a part on the show where it was about, like, her sister Jackie was a Democrat and they were Trump voters, and Jackie came over for dinner because they were trying to, like, have a family discussion and like bridge the gap, and Jackie brought Russian dressing as a joke, like, you know, as real Russiagate. Like, I just thought, I was like, you shouldn't make fun. Russiagate's real. Yeah, I fell for that. You know, I fell for that hook, line, and sinker. Yeah.
I didn't know you fell for it on the Roseanne show. I don't know.
Oh, well, because I was like, I literally fell for Russiagate, like I said, like a fool. And because it was part of the show and they were poking fun, I thought that that was dangerous. I know, I'm admitting to you guys, I was an idiot. Because I swallowed it whole. And it gave me indigestion.
And she's very, very funny. As Andrew Richardson says, Roseanne is so funny. Yes, she is. Nicole says Roseanne has a lot of great insight. She does. I mean, and, you know, she was talking to Piers Morgan. She's like, yeah, my family was killed by these people. Yeah. He's like, that's your opinion. It's like, no, it's not my opinion. They were killed by these people. Piers Morgan. Anyway.
All right. Well, Facebook is censoring you. I know. You're so shocked.
Yeah.
We've known this, but now we have further proof after Representative Jim Jordan published what he called the Facebook Files Part 1. It does seem like this was not an official release from anyone. He took it upon himself. I appreciate it. They show how unequivocally the White House has been demanding that Facebook censor speech around the COVID vaccine, up to the point of satire, even. These documents come from the House Judiciary Committee, which has been investigating the Biden administration's improper efforts to censor American speech on social media. It should be noted, Facebook did not want to hand this over. They fought tooth and nail. They only did so after the committee threatened to hold Mark Zuckerberg in contempt. We're going to go over this in a minute, but remember that Facebook has been fairly silent since Twitter has started to release the Twitter files showing how much the government has demanded online censorship. Google, still silent, but we got to think their day is coming too. If Jim Jordan's ready to do this, certainly he has information from Google to show us what we've all been through if you're watching us on YouTube. A lot of this we know already from the attorneys general lawsuit from Missouri and Louisiana. This is the case where the federal judge, Terry Doughty, ruled that the government has to stop doing this. So what we're about to see, they are not supposed to do anymore. This is the judge. Remember, this happened on the 4th of July. The Justice Department keeps trying to appeal it, say, let us censor more. We like it. Just appeal that ruling. Judge Doughty says no. So right now, they're not supposed to do it. We'll see. We'll talk about that more. Now, here are the documents that came from the House Judiciary Committee, which has been investigating, again, the Biden administration's improper efforts to censor American speech on social media. Here's the title to these social, the Facebook files. He calls it a smoking gun. He says it proves that Facebook has been censoring Americans because of the Biden White House. He says never before released internal documents subpoenaed by the Judiciary Committee prove that Facebook and Instagram has censored posts because of unconstitutional pressure from the Biden White House. Now, the emails show that Facebook executives were less, this is my judgment, you're free to agree with me, but I feel like these show that Facebook had more adults in the room than Twitter did, if we're comparing, because we have studied these at length. Facebook at least took a beat and said, this seems kind of wrong. Maybe they shouldn't ask us for this. With the Twitter files, when the government said jump, Twitter said how high. Facebook at least seemed a little uncomfortable with the order to jump. Here is from an email internally saying, we're facing continued pressure from external stakeholders, including the White House and the press, to remove more COVID vaccine discouraging content. They did eventually jump, but at least we know they said, this is kind of not right. They should not be asking us for this. The government felt comfortable enough that when Facebook did take these pauses, they got pissed off, good and pissed off. Here's an email from April 2021, where Nick Clegg, he's Facebook's president for global affairs, he informed the team that Andy Slavitt, a senior advisor to President Biden, was outraged. Take a look. He says, outraged is not too strong a word to describe his reaction. So basically, he dressed him down that we didn't remove a post, which they said was the third most highly ranked post in the data set that we sent him. Now, this we sent him, they asked for information and Facebook gave it over. So at least we already know they're cooperating. And then they get excoriated for it. Now, what was the post they wanted so badly? This Leonardo DiCaprio meme, which comes from, what was this movie? Do you remember? The one with the flamethrower?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Thank you. Yeah. That one.
Yeah. Great movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it motivated Clayton to get a flamethrower. But it's a weed flamethrower.
I use it in the when I make a fire in the fireplace.
Yeah.
I literally have the flamethrower when I put the wood in the and I don't mess around with matches. I pull the flamethrower out and
it's made for weeds.
Yeah, but it's amazing because it's like shoots a flame out and I like burn my fire. I'm like,
and he,
you want a fire?
Why is there not a video of that?
You want a fire? Of this. I love that thing.
Every time he does that, I think of this movie. Anyway, this is the meme that we, you know, like comparing this to what he says is comparing it to asbestos. Now, Clegg pushes back and says that, you know, hey, you know, yeah, we know you don't like this, but maybe this could be considered a First Amendment violation, which is exactly what it is. Didn't mean to scream at you right there. Sorry if that came loud through your speakers. That's why Judge Doughty is telling them to stop it, because it is a First Amendment violation. They did it anyway. And you can see by this screen here, they didn't really want to. Says, you know, Andy's challenge feels like a crossroads for us with the White House these days. They know they're on a slippery slope and that they can't climb back up once they go down this slope. Even after this email, they send this sort of group email like saying, can we regroup this? Like, are we able to take the reins back once we've gone through the looking glass, right? They know they can't. So what do? They offer up Tucker Carlson as a sacrificial lamb to see if they'll be happy with that. Even though this internal document shows, you know, Tucker Carlson, he didn't do anything wrong. But if we start censoring him, maybe that gets the monkey off our back. Is that the expression? Get the monkey off my back?
Monkey off your back.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. So that's when President Biden started to say online very publicly that social media was killing people. by allowing this vaccine hesitancy. We now know that the science does not support that. And we now know they had no science at the time to support saying that either. But Facebook took this to the bank, and leadership even scheduled a meeting to brainstorm some additional policy levers so that we can be more aggressive against COVID vaccine misinformation. Now, recall at the time, people were being punished online for even saying that the vaccine didn't prevent the spread. That turned out to be true. Separately, Facebook was also pressured to do this by the Surgeon General. We know now that these policies were not based on science because pharma never tested the severity of transmission. They only tested contraction rates. We know that now from the clinical trials that we've seen so far. So they had no basis for saying this was like costing lives or what did the body, yeah, killing people. We know that they didn't have the scientific basis. They just used it. But they felt comfortable controlling the narrative and infringing on your right to question or even joke about this. So no wonder Facebook withheld these documents until they absolutely could not any longer, until the committee threatened to hold Mark Zuckerberg in contempt. Again, it's worth reminding they're not supposed to do this anymore. Do you believe that? Do you feel safe? Even now, you know, after all the punishment that we have endured on this show, I don't feel completely safe talking about this stuff now. We're trying. We think it's important, and we think we can't. I just really feel like we continue to see this, and we have to continue to see this. You know, I saw a response to this, like, okay, here, you know, the Facebook files and Jim Jordan's thread. Someone said, okay, we'll just get angry about this. You know, angry tweets, check, something done about it, zero. I don't know exactly what needs to be done about it. We now have a court order that it shouldn't be done anymore. But we cannot fall asleep on this. We need to be reminded how many people have been doing this, felt comfortable doing this, and are appealing to be able to keep doing this. So let me know what you think of this in the chat. I find it outrageous, and I am ready, Google, to hear what you got. I'm ready. I've been ready.
Well, so what you're saying is that Mark Zuckerberg lied.
I say that?
Well, if you're going to hold him in contempt for what he knew and intentionally holding, you know.
No, because they had not produced the documents.
Right. So if they knew, well, did they know internally? What did he know about this?
Well, because originally they subpoenaed all kinds of information. And just a few weeks ago, they said, we're not getting what we wanted out of you. And Facebook said, look, we gave you 50,000 documents. And they said, you know, this is not what we're asking for. Give us the goods.
Yeah.
And then about a week or two later, we got this. So it's not necessarily that they lied. It's that they produced a
selective
BS round of documents.
Yeah.
Until they were pushed.
Didn't Zuckerberg allude on the Joe Rogan podcast that the FBI was manipulating things and asking them for things? And he kind of said, you know, what are you going to do? Like
he said that about Hunter Biden. He's at the laptop. Yeah. He said the FBI asked us to bury that story. Yes. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely what he said.
It's, you know, it's this string of censorship by the tolerant left, right? This idea that you want to censor RFK Jr. when he's in front of in a censorship hearing. You want to censor speech you don't like from Tucker Carlson, demote posts from people that may not have your politics be on the same page with politics, anti-Hillary Clinton posts, take those down. That's who's running these things. So is it any wonder that people are so fed up, not only with social media, but with mainstream media? Because they all work in lockstep together.
Yeah. I'm still mad as snakes about it. I still find it absolutely something we should demand stops happening.
Jim Jordan, honestly, God bless the guy. There's only like a few people that are fighting this fight. And when he takes on this battle, people roll their eyes. They're like, yes, no, that's not what we're not going to deal with this. And then all you hear the Democrats on these committees and they just like roll their eyes.
Oh, yeah. AOC literally said, we got other things to do.
Yeah. And she's the one that said deplatforming is great. We right. need to deplatform
we
people.
We can't really be listening to this.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you saw her with RFK. Like, she was just like, shut up. Like, she did not want him to talk. And it's like, they just do not like free speech for some reason. Because that's all Jim Jordan is trying to get at the bottom of. And it's like, everybody should support this.
Yeah, and as RFK Jr. said, you know, we're support what you're doing is you're supporting speech you don't like, right? That's the point. You're allowing speech you don't like. That's why we have this. It's not for the speech that you love to love to hear. It's the stuff that you disagree with. It's the stuff that may make your, you know, hairs in the back of your neck stand up, like, oh, I can't stand that woman talking. But you know what? It's her right. It's her right to talk.
Right.
It's her right to make a post. And it's your right to ignore it and, you know, not want to see that person or not follow that person on social media. But to have a company working in coordination with an administration to censor posts and downrank posts that they don't like is beyond the pale.
I mean, and again, now that we know what the federal government knew about the science behind the COVID vaccine and how thin it was, when we're talking now July 2021, when we were punished for talking about the spread and how the vaccine did not seem to have an effect on transmission rates. And so now we realize that without that scientific background, they were simply doing the bidding of Big Pharma. Why?
Yeah.
That's the looming question that no one will ask anyone in the Biden administration. Given that you know what you know now and you didn't have science back then, why give pharma the benefit of the doubt and not American citizens who want to ask questions? So let us know what you think of that interpretation, what you intend to do about it, if anything.
Has anybody seen science lately? He seems to have disappeared from the limelight.
Well, science could be in trouble. Fauci, science himself, human walking science. Mm-hmm. If Rand Paul gets his way and, brings him before criminal, you know, he suggested criminal proceedings for him. So we'll see for lying before Congress. We'll see if anything comes of it. Do you have to go away? You can recommend it. I don't know if they can do anything about it, but we'll see.
I've been reading this book that I picked up today called Pharmacracy, and it's about this idea that, like, disease is no longer just something scientific. It's something that's, like, it results in behaviors. Like, a behavior can't be a disease, you know. A behavior can contribute to a disease, but this idea that, like, diseases are nebulous, they are, you know, related to, like, feelings and symptoms and behaviors. If we latch on to that, then we give politicians and pharmaceutical companies more power, because it's just like, oh, well, I feel like I have a mental health disorder, right? Like, your brain is either diseased or it's not. It's not. And so we continue to sort of expand this idea that, like, words are violence. They will hurt me, and that will have an effect on my health in a way that's not pathology. And if we believe that, like, you can't say that I'm overweight, it might hurt my feelings, and I have a disease, which is obesity or mental health disorder, and because of that, if I have a hurt feeling, then, you know, this is the way that politicians continue to tell us that we can't say words that they don't like, and they grab power from this. It's a really interesting concept. I'm only 20% into the book. It's dense, but
all of these microaggressions that, you know, that are hurting all of these little snowflakes.
Right. What were you saying, David?
Disease. They're being diseased.
I was going to say, like, when it starts, it has to go to the weakest among us. So the person that is offended by the littlest, tiniest thing has to be the starting point of this, because no one can have their feelings hurt in this world.
Right. Yeah. And so this idea, like, there's disease, right, that happens at the cellular level, and then there's discomfort, which are different things. And if we sort of conflate them, like, that, no one's saying that, like, not having good mental health is comfortable, right? But we cannot sort of use it as a way to transfer power to people who say, well, you're hurting that person's feelings, so then you need to be stripped of your words and your rights. This is a very dangerous thing. And it's handing power to politicians and pharmaceutical companies. And we see it happening right before our very eyes. And, you know, you can't accept that if you just sort of jettison the idea of disease as a cellular pathology. So I can get you the title of that book if you want, if you're interested.
Yeah.
Another thing that's kind of frustrating is, like, so you have Democrats that are really pushing for all of this stuff, but yet they're anti, like, corporations need to pay their fair share, but who's not paying their fair share in any of this is pharmaceutical companies. So it's like they're doing their bidding, they're doing the work for them, they're out there promoting this stuff, making the pharmaceutical industry billions of dollars, while on the other hand being anti-corporation and demanding that the big companies pay their fair share.
All right, the name of the book is Pharmocracy, Medicine and Politics in America by Thomas Szasz, S-Z-A-S-Z. Really, really interesting book, dense, but did you know the word clinical? It comes from the Greek word bed, because it was just like a physician teaching his students something about a patient in a bed. It just literally means like standing near the bed.
No, I didn't. Yeah. Drav Guitao says in our chat, Redacted is really terrified of Gen Z because Gen Z will actually burn things to the ground. Drav Guitao. How do you know that we're... Am I terrified? How do you know that? I don't know that. By the way, what is Gen Z? I always get the...
Isn't that us?
No, we are... we're...
Oh, we're Generation
Gen X.
Gen X.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was born in 1976.
I'm so young, I just forget sometimes.
Yeah. You were born in what, 62?
Yes.
It's all that Genucel you use. It makes you look so young. Yeah, no, I don't even know what that is. They're really terrified of Gen Z. When is Gen Z? Philip, you always know these things.
That would be, so millennials are like 1980 to, I can't remember the exact cutoff for that, but Gen Z is like, Adelaide, your kids are Gen Z.
Are they?
I can't remember the exact cutoff.
14, yeah. 15
like
year
2005
olds?
2005 and on or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, up to
like
18.
That. Okay.
I'm not terrified of that at all. I hope they do. Really curious what they burn to the ground, though. If they burn down this like unipolar 90. Bullshit, then that would be great. Good for them.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, they're 97 to 2012. That's Gen Z.
But if Gen Z are a bunch of idiots and they're like, yeah, I love crypto and I love moving to cashless society. And yes, I want lab grown meat and I want like, yeah, I want the convenience of that. And I want to be injected with all of these things. I want to be able to scan my hand to go to the movie theater and not have to bring my wallet anymore and just inject me with a little microchip. Then I'll have a problem with Gen Z. But we'll see. Well, we'll see how it goes, I guess.
I feel like Gen Z is only the way it is because of the manipulation from Gen X, you know, like, so it's like, yeah. Once you get Gen X not manipulating Gen Z anymore, I think that they have a tendency to be more like Gen Zers. To me, they're in an internet age. Like they've had phones and internet since they were born. So they look things up and they're a little like, not all of them, of course, it's like, that's generalizing, but I just feel like they're more open to, you know, information than I think we can be. I'm Gen X too.
You know, I saw a friend of mine showed me in Vancouver, they're holding like, there's like a gay pride parade for pets.
Oh yeah.
Like this is what's come to now. Like this is, I mean, you can burn that down. Like bring, you know, we're gonna have a gay pride parade for your pets. Like you can get rid of that shit. Please do that.
That's like people.
I mean, do whatever. I don't have time for that.
What's it? What's that?
Like people saying their pets are vegetarians. You ever see that? Like people feed their pets vegetables, and it's like really not good for them. And this lady is like, I want to show you that my pet prefers vegetables. So she lays vegetables and like meat down, and the dog goes right for the meat. And she's like, no.
Oh, yeah. Pamela Anderson also has vegan dogs. That's a big part of her like
biography. So not good for the dog.
Well,
canine.
Yeah.
I mean, literally the tooth is named after them for, you know?
Yeah.
Right, isn't it? Or am I wrong about that? The canine? I don't know
anything about dog nutrition, but except what we...
Dog. I was talking about teeth. I was talking about, you know, teeth.
Yeah, canine teeth.
Okay. You like it. Yeah. All right. I'm not prepared to ring in to be an expert on nutrition for animals.
Well, I should read a book on it.
Okay.
Should read a book on that.
Yeah, Jennifer, my roommate is a pet specialist, and she told me that. So
okay, yeah. All right.
Well, that's going to do it for our show. Hey, I should mention, you guys, please join our community. We've got a great community here. If you want to become a Redacted Rebel VIP, all you need to do is go to redacted.inc. It's not .com. And then click on the right side of your screen there and you can become a Redacted Rebel. And for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can support our community. You can get access to exclusive content, early interviews, live streams, and other things. And We keep saying this is going to happen here. Maybe once the summer wraps up, Natalie's going to launch her book club on there.
Okay.
So you'll have the Redacted Rebel Book Club with Natalie.
I'm going to give tests.
She'll give
hard
tests,
ones.
And they'll be tough books. But you're all smart people, so you can join up.
Will there be awards, like stickers and stuff?
Oh, essays only.
Yes, full essays.
This is why I have no friends.
Well, yeah, exactly. Go to redacted.inc is the place to go. Redacted.inc. And if you're on Rumble right there, you can click that big red join button and you can join our locals community there. Rumble makes it really, really easy. But if you're on YouTube, just come on over to the website, redacted.inc. Become a rebel. Join the rebellion. Just like Carolyn today, the lovely lady from Sweden who I had a chance to meet. We had a great conversation and she just said, oh my gosh, I just hope people wake up. I just hope people wake up. And I said, me too. Thank you for doing what you do. I'm like, never stop talking, Carolyn. Please tell your friends, you know, go out there and be the voice of reason. So great lady, great lady. Anyway, much love to all of you guys. Have a great night. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. That's when we're live. So make sure you turn on that bell notification so you get a little notification when we go live. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Bye now.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.